Having given up his transcendental anger, Ram assumed a gentle countenance and laid aside his bow, arrows, and armor. With the fighting now concluded, the demigods leapt from the sky overhead and then went back to their abodes. And while going, they chanted the glories of Lord Ram with great satisfaction. After then receiving due honor from Ram and permission to depart, Mathali ascended into the sky upon Indra's chariot and returned to the heavenly kingdom. Returning to his military camp, Ram ordered Lakshman to perform the installation ceremony for Vibhishan. In turn, Lakshman gave golden vessels to the chief monkeys, ordering them to quickly fetch water from the four seas. Lakshman performed the installation ceremony strictly according to Vedic injunctions. All of Lanka's citizens came to the sacrificial arena with presentations of auspicious articles. After receiving these gifts, Vibhishan offered them to Ram. Ram then told Hanuman, "Please go and find out how Sita is. Inform her that I have killed Ravana, and then return here with any message she may have for me." Hanuman then went to the Ashoka Grove and found the grief-stricken Sita, still surrounded by hideous Rakshasis. Standing meekly before her, Hanuman said, "Your husband, Ram, has sent me here to give you the following message. After many sleepless months, I have fulfilled my vow to rescue you. Now that your oppressor, the king of the Rakshasas, is dead, you may give up your anxiety." Hearing the news of Ravana's death and Ram's well-being, Sita became so overwhelmed with joy that she could not speak for some time. And when Hanuman asked her why she did not make any reply, Sita spoke, "I can hardly speak because I am so elated. Oh Hanuman, what you have told me is unlimitedly more valuable than any amount of gold or jewels." With folded hands, Hanuman then suggested, "If you so desire, I can kill all of these hideous Rakshasis who have tortured you for so long. Indeed, I would take great pleasure in avenging all the suffering you had to undergo. I simply wait for your permission." But the compassionate Sita replied, "No, they are only foolish maidservants who were compelled to carry out the orders of their king. Whatever I have suffered was only due to my own past misdeeds. These Rakshasi women only acted as instruments in the hands of destiny. Oh Hanuman, perhaps you have heard this. A great man never takes into account the offenses that are committed against him by another person. Indeed, such a man vows at all costs not to return evil with evil. For once there was a hunter who was being chased by a tiger. While trying to escape, the hunter climbed up into a big tree. However, high up in the branches of the tree, a bear was perched, relaxing. Upon seeing the bear, the tiger called out to him, 'This hunter is our common enemy. You should push him out of the tree so that I can eat him.' The bear, however, replied, 'Because this hunter has taken shelter of my home, I shall not do anything to harm him, for to do so would be unrighteous.' And saying this, the bear went to sleep. The tiger then said to the hunter, 'If you push the bear out of the tree so that I can eat him, I will promise not to harm you. Being swayed by the tiger's words, the hunter pushed the sleeping bear. However, as he was falling, the bear grabbed another branch and thus saved himself. The tiger then said to the bear, "Since this hunter tried to kill you, you should retaliate by pushing him out of the tree." But even though the tiger repeatedly appealed to the bear refused. "No, a great person never takes into account the sins of a person who has offended one. Instead, at all costs, he keeps his vow never to return evil for evil, knowing well that good conduct is the ornament of virtuous persons." Being thus admonished, Hanuman asked Sita if she had a message to give to Ram. "O Hanuman, my only words are this. I long to see my dear husband, who is ever known to be always very affectionate towards his unalloyed devotees. O my dear Sita, please be assured that you will see Ram and Lakshman this very day. So please allow me now to leave so that I may deliver your message without delay." Hanuman quickly returned to Ram and related Sita's message. Hanuman urged Ram to meet with Sita. "Because she has suffered so much and is still longing to see you, please go to the Ashoka Grove at once." And when Ram heard this appeal, tears came to his eyes. With his face downcast, he ordered the Vishan, "Let Sita be brought before me after bathing, dressing, and adorning herself with celestial ornaments." The Vishan then went to the Ashoka Grove and through a Rakshasi guard made his presence known to Sita. Humbly approaching her, the Vishan then said, "Ram desires to see you, so after preparing yourself suitably, please mount this palanquin which I have brought." Sita then went to bathe, and after dressing herself nicely, was placed upon the palanquin and brought before Lord Ram himself. When Vibhishan first approached Ram, he saw that the Lord's head was bent low, as if he were absorbed in thought. Vibhishan then announced Sita's arrival. Ram requested that she be brought before him at once. Out of natural curiosity, hordes of monkeys had come to catch a glimpse of Sita. However, Vibhishan and his assistants began pushing the monkeys back, and there arose a great commotion. Because of strong affection for his servitors, Ram became annoyed by seeing this, and he told Vibhishan, "Do not harass these monkeys. There is nothing wrong if a chaste woman is seen in public during a time of adversity or war or a Svayamvara or at sacrifices or a wedding. Therefore, please allow the monkeys to see Sita as they so desire. Now, let Sita come down from the palanquin and come before me on foot." And as Vibhishan escorted Sita, the monkey chiefs could understand that Ram was in an angry mood. They were surprised not only that Ram was upset, but he was making Sita walk in public view. Ram's manner was stern and grave. Sita thus approached Ram with great shyness, seeming to shrink into herself. Then, when Sita saw the moon-like handsome face of her beloved husband, her miseries immediately disappeared, causing her natural shining effulgence to once again return. Sita was exceedingly happy to see her beloved, and her lotus-like mouth showed her joy. But Ram was in a different mood. Ram's heart was tormented by fear of a public scandal. Therefore, he addressed Sita in an angry tone. I have fulfilled my vow to win you back and thus avenge Ravana's insult to my honor. However, you should understand that my great endeavor to kill that Rakshasa king was not really for your sake, but to vindicate my good name and the reputation of the Ikshvaku dynasty. In truth, your appearance before me is not at all pleasing. Thus, I now grant you leave to go wherever you desire, for no cultured man will accept a wife who has been embraced by another, or who has dwelt in the house of someone else for so long. I am sure that no woman could have remained with Ravana for such a long time without being enjoyed by him. Ravana was indeed obsessed with lust for you. How could he have controlled himself and refrained from ravishing you by force? By killing Ravana, I have regained my honor. However, there is no need to have any more attachment for you. You are now free to do as you like. So fix your mind upon Lakshman, Bharat, or anyone else you may choose. And as Sita heard Ram's speech, her hair stood on end and her head bent low in shame. Since before she had heard only loving words from her husband, Ram's words entered her heart like sharp arrows. She began to weep bitterly, and since she was in the presence of innumerable witnesses, it was difficult for her to endure her husband's reproaches. So then, wiping tears from her eyes, Sita replied in a faltering voice, "How can you dare speak about me in such an irresponsible manner? Never for a moment have I given up my chastity, either by body, mind, or words. My character is pure, so you should not judge me as though I were an ordinary woman. Although I am called Janaki, the daughter of King Janaka, my birth was indeed transcendental, for I appeared from the very earth itself. Oh, Ram, if it was your plan all along to cruelly reject me in this way, why didn't you inform me when Hanuman came as your messenger? If I knew that you did not intend to take me back, I would have immediately given up my life, thus avoiding many months of unbearable pain. And likewise, you could have avoided this ghastly war that has taken the lives of countless Rakshasas and monkeys. So what was the need of demanding so much service from your allies? Oh, Ram, why are you acting like this? Does my pure devotion to you mean nothing?" Sita then addressed Lakshman, "Please build a large fire for me to enter. This is the only path that remains for one who has been rejected by her husband in public." Suppressing his agitation, Lakshman looked at Ram and saw that his elder brother approved of Sita's words. Thus, Lakshman went to prepare the fire. Ram appeared so stern and intense that no one dare say anything to Ram, what to speak of pacifying him. When the fire was built and blazed up brightly, Sita circumambulated Ram. Then, coming before the fire with folded hands, Sita bowed to the Brahmanas and demigods. Next, Sita offered a prayer to Agnidev out loud. O God of fire, because my heart has never turned away from my husband Ram, please grant me protection. Although I have never been unfaithful to Ram in thought, word, or deed, nevertheless he accuses me of being polluted. Therefore, O God of fire, O seer of all within these three worlds, I thus request you to become the witness of my purity. And upon saying this, Sita circumambulated the fire. Then, as the huge crowd looked on in wonder, Sita entered into the flames with a fearless mind. Within the blazing fire, Sita, who was adorned with dazzling gold ornaments, shone with wonderful golden effulgence. As soon as Sita entered the fire, all the women present screamed out with horror, and a cry of anguish arose from the assembled monkeys and rakshasas. Within the midst of the great wailing, Ram appeared to become thoughtful. Meanwhile, the chief demigods appeared before Ram, riding upon their celestial vehicles. As Ram stood before them with folded hands, the demigods, headed by Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, spoke. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Ramachandra, we are indeed very pained to see how you are neglecting your eternal consort, Mother Sita. You are the creator of this universe and the Lord of all of us demigods. So why do you ignore your own divinity and reject Sita as though you were a common man? Listen to me, everyone. I consider myself to be an ordinary human being, the son of Maharaj Dasharath. However, if there is something more to be said, then perhaps you, Lord Brahma, can disclose it to me. Oh, my dear Lord Rama, you are directly Lord Narayana himself, and thus you are identical with all the forms of Narayana. You are a plenary expansion of Lord Sri Krishna, who is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are the cause of all causes. You are the universal form and the support of this entire cosmic manifestation. All the demigods are simply your parts and parcels, and they are your eternal servants. And moreover, Sita is none other than Lakshmi Devi herself, the Supreme Goddess of Fortune. Both of you have appeared on this earth in order to destroy Ravana. So now that this mission has been accomplished, you may return to your transcendental abode, O Lord, which is in the spiritual sky, after ruling over the earth for as long as you desire. As soon as Lord Brahma finished speaking, the fire god Agni emerged from the flames with Sita. As Agni presented Sita before Ram, everyone could see how her body, how her bright red dress, her ornaments and hair showed no sign of being even slightly burned. In his capacity as a universal witness, Agnidev announced, O Ram, here is your dear wife Sita. She is devoid of even the smallest tinge of sin. Sita was never even the slightest bit unfaithful to you, either by mind, word, or glance. What to speak of any action? Therefore, my dear Ram, you must accept Sita without reservation. Give up your harsh words and demeanor. Now, Ram was pleased to hear Agni's testimony, and as tears of joy fell from his eyes, he spoke, O Agni Deva, it was necessary for Sita to undergo this trial by fire, just to convince the masses of her spotless purity. For if I had prevented her from entering the fire, people would have criticized me for accepting her without first proving her chastity. They would have concluded that I was simply motivated by lust. In truth, I already knew of Sita's chastity and that Ravana could never pollute her. She is always fully protected by the power of her righteousness. So, it was only to prove Sita's chastity to the world that I appeared to neglect her. Indeed, Sita is non-different from me, for she is directly my internal potency. Just as sunlight, being non-different from the sun, is inseparable from the sun, so too there is no possibility of my being separated from Sita. Thus, Ram felt great transcendental bliss in being reunited once again with Sita. We should know that Ram's pastimes are all manifestations of his internal spiritual potency, enacted for the purpose of relishing transcendental spiritual loving exchanges.